to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. If you are an author or independent recorded artist, we'd love to hear from you. Simply follow the links we've provided on our homepage. All shows are converted to MP3 format and available free on demand. We're sure you'll find topics and authors of interest. Be sure to share Artist First Radio with all your social network sites. And this hour, it's our privilege to introduce author Jordan T. Maxwell, author of Dandy Flowers. And I love the website, www.dandyflowers.com. Let's give a warm Artist First welcome to our guest. How do you do, Jordan?
I'm doing great. How are you this evening?
Wow, thanks for being our guest. That's awesome. You're having a good time as an author, and I think that's so important to have a passion, to love what you're doing. How did it all get started for you, Jordan?
Well, I've always liked to write. Wrote in high school and have always wanted to be creative. My day job that pays the bills is that of a paramedic. And, you know, standing on one foot starting an IV is about as creative as it gets in the back of an ambulance. So I always wanted to create something. And when the book came about, it came about when I was going through a divorce or a separation and ultimately a divorce. And I had a lot of time on my hands. So I had this idea of what became the book. And I just started writing. And there came a point in time when the story, it was like kind of funny, the story would start telling itself and my fingers would just became possessed, if you will. So it came about through during a rough patch, as my dad would call it, and it's really turned out to be kind of fun.
Now, let's back up a little bit.
Sure.
You weren't really pursuing her in any aggressive way.
You mean writing or? Which her are you talking about?
Wait a minute. Laura's Diaries.
No, that's the second book. That's not till December.
Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. All right. Well, but you're right. It becomes such a passion, such a preoccupation of your mind. It sort of pushes everything else out of the way.
Absolutely. And the story just... It's just really interesting how it came about. I mean, I just started writing, had a general idea about a young woman who gets engaged, and her dad takes her aside and says, hey, there's something I need to tell you. I want to have my love talk with you. And of course, she says, Dad, you know, I kind of already know where babies come from. And he's like, well, you know, not that particular talk. But then he sets her down over a long weekend and tells her about a part of his life that she knew nothing about. And, you know, with your parents, you pretty much think you know everything about them, but sometimes not so much. And so he tells her about his first love, and her name is Laura. And over this weekend, she becomes very real to his daughter, Erin, and as Jerry tells the story. So, it was a lot of fun to write. It's a lot of fun to write.
So when you're not chasing an ambulance, no, I mean riding in one, you have time to read or write or both?
Oh, yes. I do read. I do write. Now, you know, the book that I wrote is, well, I call it a young adult novel. Some people call it a romance. But my favorite author is Stephen King. Of course, he's quite the romance author himself. He loves to scare people. So, but I am writing. I wrote the second book, which we'll talk about December 20th, right here on this show. And then I'm working on a third and final in the series. Not too much into that. And then I'm getting away from Laura and Jerry. They've lived in my head for about 7 years now, and they really haven't paid much rent. I'm gonna evict them and start with something new. So
I haven't quite heard it that way before.
Yeah,
but I would imagine you're correct. After a while, you sort of get tired of dwelling in the world of your characters.
Absolutely. They just, you know, they're wonderful. The character of Laura, you know, I absolutely love her to death. But, you know, she's just going to have to go. It's time to move on. We're going to break up, I think, after the third book. So.
Okay, now you must have relatives, Kansas City, Missouri, Centertown, mm-hmm. Missouri, Lexington, Kentucky, New York, Frederick, Maryland, and of course, as I stated earlier in the broadcast, we literally have thousands of listeners from every point in the globe. Welcome to our military personnel, U.S. government, those serving in Afghanistan, Iraq, Istanbul, Turkey, and all over Europe. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. Our guest this hour, we've placed all the information on our homepage. It's simple. Just get out and go to dandyflowers.com. You'll find a fascinating website. I believe there's an audio clip on there as well. Novels by Jordan T. Maxwell. And it's a fabulous website. And thank you so much, Jordan, for supporting the arts, for coming on Artist First Radio and being my, Tony K's, guest this hour. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. And I'd like to add to all the folks that are away defending our right to have conversations like this, thank you so much. You do so much for us, and we take you for granted, and we really should not do that.
Yeah, but, you know, our programming's free, and when they're out there in the middle of nowhere and they still have satellite, you know, access, we're thrilled to provide thousands of hours available free on demand at artistfirst.com for everyone's enjoyment. And now we can add you to our list. So thank you very much for being here with us. Now, the journey, 7 years of thought mm-hmm. process, life goes on, relationships, children, family, a job, and between somehow this book.
Actually, this book, and then, of course, there's the second one. And most recently, I kind of got the really bad old writer's block. And so I took Dandy Flowers, which we're talking about tonight, and I've actually converted that or adapted that into a stage play. And that was a lot of fun. I know nothing about writing plays, but I had fun doing it. And so that's kind of my dream. I want to see my characters come to life. And ultimately, I want to see them on the big screen if that's going to happen. That would be wonderful. But if nothing else, I can always close my eyes and see the whole story right inside the little motion picture theater in my head.
Now, where do you call home? What's your backyard?
My backyard, I'm about 35 miles east of Kansas City, Missouri, right on I-70, little town of Odessa.
Okay, and what's Odessa about? Is it flat, dry, and tumbleweed Odessa, like Texas, or what's it like?
Odessa is like Missouri. We're nice and green. Been getting some rain out here, right here along the interstate, I-70. Great little town. It's become kind of a bedroom for Kansas City or the Kansas City metro area. Great little town of about 4,000 or 5,000 people. Gosh, the kids ride their bikes up and down the street. You don't have to worry about somebody snatching them and running off with them. It's a pretty close-knit community, and it's a great place to live. I've been here since about 17 years.
Well, I spent time there. 6 months in Missouri. Yeah, a little place out in the middle of nowhere called Fort Leonardwood.
Actually, we have another name for that. We call it Fort Lost in the Woods.
That's right. That's right. And those were the days where we actually did have an artillery, you know, 8-inch mm-hmm. howitzers and guns, and we actually had, you know, units that went out and bled and died in Vietnam. And it was old war, you know, very much like World War II or the Korean conflict.
Absolutely.
The way
Certainly.
That we did things. And it's a new day, a new army, new technology, new methods. So it's entirely different than what I experienced.
Oh, sure.
But so don't mention Missouri too much to me, but it is the show me state.
Absolutely. And I have that mentality. I've kind of mule-headed, if you will. And there's a lot of times I invoke our state motto. Somebody will tell me something. I say, you're just going to have to show me.
Yeah, I like that. That's okay. That's good. That's good. Yep. And of course, it's a great state. And thank you for applying yourself there. Do you find that some of the nuances of Missouri drift into the book? Would you consider it a Missourian flavor of writing?
Absolutely. I mean, it's based in Missouri. In fact, the little town where Jerry and Laura's life together takes place has no name in the book, and I did that intentionally. It could be anywhere. But there's a lot of things that I pulled from, you know, my growing up. I grew up on a farm just outside of another little town up in north central Missouri called Carrollton, and there's a lot of things in the story that are either in whole or in part that actually happened to people I know or related to or whatnot. There's a barn that's mentioned in the story that has a staircase going up to the hayloft. That was my great uncle's barn. Let's see. Yeah, but yeah, there's a lot of that good old Missouri mule-headedness in there. We just plain folks who just getting out there and getting things done.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you're right. There is a sense of community, family, relying on each other and self-reliance mm-hmm. that comes
Certainly.
Along with the lifestyle.
Yep, yep. And that's what I try to put in the story. It's just a sweet little romance about two people in the middle of the tumultuous 60s. They just sort of, they meet in rather an unusual fashion, and they fall in love. It's real simple. There's nothing, you know, that story has been told many, many times. This is just my adaptation of a love story.
Jordan T. Maxwell, our guest on Authors First, Tony Kay in the studio. Did you have an audience in mind when you began writing, or was this pretty much for your own self-satisfaction, and if others appreciated it, then fine?
When I wrote the draft, I wrote it for me. And mainly just to see if I could write a book, if I had a book in me. Once I got the first draft done, I swallowed really, really hard, and I started letting people read it. And that's rather difficult, you know, because you put a lot of yourself into it. And the first two people that read it were really, really close friends. I thought, you know, let's go close. Well, they'll probably, if it's not any good, at least they'll be kind with their review of it. And it was my friend Dave and Diane DeCamp. And my buddy Dave does not read. He's not much of a book reader at all. In fact, he told me this was the first book he had written or had read in 20, 25 years.
Now, is Dave a Christian, or is he a drinking buddy, or both?
Well, yeah. we go to church together. We run around together. He and myself and about six or seven other guys 3 times a year goes down to some cabins at the Lake of the Ozarks, and we kind of decompress from the daily life.
Yeah, so these are guys that you feel like brothers. You're
absolutely.
Close to them, you know?
Absolutely.
That's what I was driving at, Jordan,
yeah.
that
yeah.
it's so important when you're beginning a writing career. As you said, it's your emotions on the sleeve. You're putting it all out there, right? And it's kind
absolutely.
Of it's kind of a raw nerve. And, you know, you could really ruin some relationships, you know, if they would just react slightly the wrong way. So it is a sensitive matter. But at any rate, they were, you did have some that read it and thought it offered hope.
Absolutely. In fact, what I found really interesting, and considering today is the 22nd of November, I think it's kind of ironic. Dave and his wife were dating, and they were the same age as Jerry and Laura were in the book when the Kennedy assassination happened. And
yes,
I'm a
would be 48 years ago today.
Absolutely.
For those listening, November 11th.
November 22nd,
2011. I knew there was 11 there. And you'll see that on the archive as well, but go ahead.
But so I asked them after they read it, and they, you know, I said, you know, I was born August the 18th of 1964, which is 40 weeks after the Kennedy assassination, so you can kind of do the math and figure out how my parents consoled themselves. But I asked Dave and Diane if I got anywhere close to what it was like, you know, how I had Jerry and Laura portrayed. And they told me, and I'll never forget this, they said, you were dead on. And so that made me feel really good that I'd actually captured a moment that, you know, I had no way of living through, but that I captured in a way that, you know, somebody who did live through it said it was very accurate. I really appreciated that.
Realism, you know, giving the characters a life that you could identify with, setting it in a historical point of reference. Do you think then there's an age group that would best appreciate the storyline, the situation?
The oldest person I know who has read it is a lady who is well into her 80s. The youngest person I know, when she read it, was my daughter. She read it when she was 12. I finally let her read it here a year or so ago. And there's a whole age gamut in between. Different people of different ages pick up different things, you know, from the story. And what's really interesting, I've gotten some really good feedback from a lot of different people, some that I know very well, some that I've only met because of the book. And what I find just is absolutely amazing is that I hear the same things from all these same people, you know, who are all over the United States, in fact, even out of New Zealand. Actually, I know a young lady down there who has my books. So I hear the same general compliments, comments, and that makes me feel really good that, you know, a wide age, diverse group is getting the same thing out of the book and, I mean, as enjoying it as well.
You know, hey, listen, everyone, there are people in your life, they're shut-ins, they can't get out, they're in nursing homes, maybe their eyes aren't what they used to be, and they're not reading the way they'd like to. Why not Dandy Flowers as an audio book, $20 well spent, 10-CD audio version of Dandy Flowers? Why not? Get that now, $20, PayPal. Just go ahead and click it, buy it right now, have it down, get it ready. Thanksgiving is coming up here in a couple days. Then we have Christmas, and, of course, any time is a good read time or a good audio time for those who can't read. So why not? There you go. Just do it. Jordan T. Maxwell. No, forget that. I mean, he did a good job and everything writing, but really you want to go to dandyflowers.com. That's what you want to know. And right there on that page, it'll say order. And you click that little button, and boom, now you have the list. PayPal. Boom. Buy the book. Buy the audio. Get your copies now. You'll have it, what, instantly, if audio? Is that how it works, or do you send out a physical CD?
If they order the audiobook from me off my website, I'll have to mail it to them. But it'll be signed, so that's, you know, that's a bonus. It is available on iTunes as an automatic download, and I cannot for the life of me remember what the price is. In fact, I'm going to go one up on that. You know, if somebody the first person to click on my contact the author page and say, hey, I want your audiobook, send me your address. First person, based on the time I get it, I'll just mail them one free gratis, and we'll all be happy.
Yeah, there you go. So it pays to listen to Artist First Radio. There you go. It's just that easy, everyone. Thank you so much, Jordan T. Maxwell, our guest, for being so generous and supporting the arts and being our guest on the network and sharing the backdrop to your life and what led you to write and begin this interesting avocation that you think will ever become a vocation. That's a long-range goal, I'm imagining.
You know, that would be, you know, that's the long-range goal. If it happens, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, you know, I'm not too worried about it. When I'm writing for me. I'm writing stories for myself and ones that I know that my kids are going to read. I have a daughter and a son, 13 and 11. And, you know, anything that I write, I know they're going to read. So I have to keep it appropriate for them. And, you know, I think one of the best compliments I got when the book came out, Dandy Flowers has been out since January of 2007, and had my kids up to a Barnes & Noble up in Kansas City. I knew it was on the shelf. They didn't. And I took them in there because they like to read. And we're walking around, and I sort of herded them over to where the bookshelf where the book was. And I'm standing there hoping they'll see it, and they hadn't. And finally, I leaned up against the shelf with my hand right under the book, and my daughter spied it. And then I got the best compliment. I can tell you when this happened. It was January 27th, 2007. My daughter was a lot younger then. She was 8, and my son was 6 or thereabouts. and they said, Daddy, we're proud of you. It didn't get any better than that. Everything else is just gravy after that. So it was, that was a great thing. And my daughter has read it. She really enjoyed it. She's read the second book. My son hasn't read it yet, but yeah, he's a guy. He's not into those chick books.
Yeah, that's all right. He wouldn't admit it if he did, you know.
That's right.
Come
that's
on.
Right.
But if it happened to appear at the right location, he may actually pick it up or look at it, okay? But you're
absolutely
right. You know, there are certain topics at a certain age men don't typically will look at. It's not too macho, right?
That's right.
But that's okay. You bridge that gap the older you get.
Absolutely.
Dandyflowers.com, the website, also, I believe, found on Lulu.com.
Lulu is for the second book.
Laura's Diaries.
That's right. We'll be talking, again, we'll be talking about that on December 20th. But hey, you know, it'd be a great thing to get the book in advance and read it so you know what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what I'm getting at. Go to the order page. You'll find it all right there, audience. It's there. They're $13. I mean, they're incredible value. Well done, well written, appropriate for all ages. So what, 15, 16, no, 86, 96. It covers the whole range. And not just for the ladies, but, you know, there's always the dual purpose, because if grandmother or mother or great-grandmother's reading it, grandpa will probably pick it up too, or maybe one of the other girls, and pretty soon they'll all want their copy.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's it has definitely been, you know, when I wrote the book, I wrote it for me, and I had no intention of publishing it. I was just going to write it for me. Then I started letting people read it, and I started getting really good feedback. And the day I could, that I knew that I was going to publish it, a lady I work with, she's a fellow paramedic, and I asked her to read the draft, and so she did. It's in a big three-ring binder, but the manuscript was like, you know, 450 pages or something. And she read it in 2 days, and I see her coming back to my office. I'm not out on the street anymore every day. I can still go out and, you know, I can still go out and miss an IV with the best of them, but I do more teaching now. But she's walking back to my office with the three-ring binder, and she walked into my office. My boss is sitting there. We're chatting about whatever we were that particular day, and she threw the binder at me. There's kind of an emotional part towards the end, and I really can't say what she said, but it was her opinion that my parents were not married when I was born, and she turned around and walked away, wouldn't talk to me for about 3 days, and at that moment I knew I got her. I had written something that got to her emotionally. I'm thinking, somebody else is going to like this.
Wow, you know, you're right, and people do get involved. You know, they feel like, hey, you know, what's going on? They fall in love with the character, or you know, they have expectations by the time they get to the end, and sometimes those aren't met, and they're disappointed. But that means they were engaged, and they actually care about the content.
My boss, he witnessed this whole thing, and he's like, what in the world? And I'm laughing. I think it's great. It was a while later when he actually got a copy of the book, and every morning I'd come in and say, well, what's going on in the story? And he would tell me. He got to the point where the antagonist in the story, whose name is Bill Morris, comes into play, and he's not a very nice person. And, well, I can't repeat what my boss said, but he didn't like Bill Morris at all. He called him all sorts of colorful names. And
we call those superlatives around here.
Or quaint colloquialisms.
Superlatives, yes. Okay. Oh, wow. Well, hey, there you go. You know, you've hit a nerve. You've got the audience excited. And it is fun, I guess, in that case, letting others sort of sample the waters didn't hurt so much.
No, it didn't. I mean, and one of the more, I don't know what the word would be to use, not scathing, because it wasn't scathing. One of the more stinging critiques I got from when I was, you know, the draft. And of course, if you write a book, once you write the draft, that's when the real writing begins, because you go back and revise and rework and rewrite and edit and all that. But I let my former pastor read it, and his first review of it was kind of stinging. And I told him to be bluntly honest, and he was. And for about 2 seconds after he told me that, inside I got kind of mad, and I thought, no, wait a minute, you asked for this, take it as constructive criticism, learn from it, and, you know, move on. And I did, and he's actually read the book since it's been published, and he really enjoyed it as well. So changed some things that he thought needed to be changed, and the rest, they say, is history.
Well, yeah, I mean, doing this whole project is a life-altering experience. You know, going through the whole process of coming up with a storyline, mm-hmm. writing interesting characters, coming out with it to your closest friends and relatives, and waiting for their reactions, fine-tuning your process, getting the book published, making it available online 24/7, having it as an audiobook, 10 CDs. It just sort of click, click with your heels, and you were there, Dorothy.
Yes, I was, and I might have brought Toto, too. But, you know, like I said earlier, it's, you know, to create something, to sit there and just take a blank page, whether it's on the computer or, you know, in a typewriter, and I used a computer, by the way.
And that was Kansas, not Missouri. Sorry, Dorothy. But
that,
it almost,
I understand.
It almost worked.
Okay. Well, when I'm at work, I'm within like 4 or 5 miles from Kansas, but so it's okay. We'll accept that. But, you know, but to create, take that blank canvas and then paint it with words, and then have people enjoy it. That's just amazing to me that people would really, you know, take the time to read what I've written. And then also, what probably means the most to me is when they contact me either on the website or on Facebook, Jordan T. Maxwell. Really easy to find on Facebook because my profile picture is the cover of both my books. And but they contact me and they tell me what they, you know, what they like. And like I said earlier, I hear the same consistent things over and over again, and that makes me feel really good. I really enjoy that.
Well, later you'll know how it feels, and when 20 years from now someone will write you affectionately, "How's Goose and Monkey Man these days?"
Oh, if my daughter's listening right now, she's going to have a cow. Yeah, Goose was an early name from when she was itty-bitty tiny. And Monkey Man, he's getting a little bit bigger too. But you know, those are my two biggest cheerleaders. They have truly been a blessing.
But how the internet has changed everything! There we have the image, the actual photograph of our guest this hour, right there for everyone, and we know the most intimate details of his family life and their ages, which means we could calculate their dates of birth and their nicknames. And so there you go, LifeLock has a place in your life, everyone.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have LifeLock, you better be getting it, because you have to have it just for security of mind, peace of mind. And they're not even a sponsor. They're not. But I belong. Trust me, everyone.
Yeah.
I belong to LifeLock, and not that I'm giving out my Social Security number or receiving any revenue for the above commercial, although we'd love to have a sponsor or two that actually cared about something called literature and independent recorded music. So, if you are an advertiser, we'd love to hear from you. Tony K, not groveling, just offering an opportunity for you to be involved with the arts at Artist First Radio 24/7. Was that too shameless?
It was entirely shameless and
thank you.
Totally appropriate.
And
totally appropriate.
Okay, good. Now, but here we are, the 21st century, an author. You have a great product. It's out there. Has to be on the web. Has to be available, visible for people 24/7 on their smartphones, their iPads, iPhones, whatever they're using, Androids. And you're out there, too. Interviews and speaking engagements, and what else could we give? What other thing can we add to that?
Book signings.
Book signings, a radio personality now, you know?
Yeah, and incredibly modest and good-looking.
Modest, so. Good-looking. Blogging, do you blog?
I have a blog set up. I haven't done that much with it. If I would stay off Facebook, I could probably do a lot more writing and blogging, but I get kind of addicted to that, and so blogging will eventually come. I just don't know when.
Burns, Whitewater, Potwin, and Elbing, Kansas. I guess more people logging. You must be a real legend out there. You've saved some lives. I mean, they're loyal fans now. Hey, I saved your life. You got to buy my books.
I like to say that I'm the most famous author you've never heard of.
Artist First line.
That's right.
That's ours. The best new music you've never heard.
Uh-oh. Was that a copyright violation or a trademark violation?
Well,
sorry.
We won't argue. It's okay. You're free to use it. We give everything away at Artist First. We're proud that we've never made any money doing this. Okay.
There we go.
But thank you, listeners from around the globe and from other points in Kansas. So at least we have evidence that if they say, oh, I was listening, then yeah, I read their city, I think.
Yeah, it's I'm on the Missouri side, live out in Odessa. But as you're talking about giving things away, and I spoke a little earlier about turning the first book into a play, I'm giving the play away to anybody, high school, community theater, or college group that wants to do it. The only thing I ask is when they do it, let me know so I can show up and see what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, you have to get credit.
I'll get credit and all that, but
right, and then you have to have the table and the booth and the backdrop and the books and the audio CDs and you know, of course.
Actually, yes. What I'll do if somebody were to do the play,
you'll film it.
Books, what's that?
You'll film it, and then that'll be available as well.
Well, no, actually, if that's available, that's good. No, if someone were to take the play and do it, we wanted to do the book sales, which is an option to do. I would donate all the profit to the high school community drama or whatever, the drama department. I won't make any money off the play or anything I sell from it. That's just pure, unadulterated ego for me to see my characters come to life. And if it's one person or one group that does it, that's great. If it's 1,000 that does the play, that's wonderful, too. And I'm having fun.
You really are. I mean, and it's life-changing. Come on. It is.
It is.
You know, one day you're, you know, just sort of developing a career in one of the top 10 EMS agencies of the United States of America, Emergency Medical Services. There you are in the top 10. You're working your little butt off, right? Becoming a professional, memorizing everything, living up to all the standards that are involved in that career. And then the next minute, it's like this other side of you, the other part of your brain kicks in, and not so technical, not so stress-generated, pressure-oriented material surfaces.
Yep, it's definitely the EMS aspect has it takes a toll. July, I started year number 26 of doing this. And some people have asked me, are you going to write any books about EMS? And I'm like, no. That's what I do for a living. When I write for me, and I don't want to write about work because I don't want my writing to become a job, because if it becomes a job, it'll be a morning I'll wake up and I'll have to write, and then it kind of takes away from that. Then it just becomes a job. But I write for the passion of it. And if I can get some success along with that, that's just gravy on top.
What a wonderful philosophy. Thank you for sharing your backdrop, your lifestyle, your family. Jordan T. Maxwell, our guest, dandyflowers.com, the website. Shamelessly, we say, you must have. It is a great read. It's put out there as an audio for others who can't read and who would benefit from having hours of time to follow a great storyline and get engaged with characters that are meaningful and from an author who's enjoying producing it. You have a future book coming out. We won't mention that again. No. Yes, Laura's Diaries. No, we can't talk about that. That's the December.
December 20th.
December 20th.
7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the
Artist First Radio Network.
So,
audience, you've been warned.
Mark
your calendar. And if you failed to miss the date, then we'll torture you further by making it available 24/7 on the Internet and for your future enjoyment. or maybe sending it out to somebody that you don't enjoy. So
there you go.
Yeah. Jordan T. Maxwell, thank you. What fun it is, as you mentioned, just a few days before Thanksgiving, coming up on the Christmas holidays, and producing such great material suitable for all ages, men and women.
Yep.
What fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
Can I expect to see that in everyone's stocking this year?
I would like to expect to see it there. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but, you know, if it does happen, I'll be very, very pleased. And so, yeah. Oh, and also I should add, well, if you order them off my my website, because you can actually order them off Amazon, you can order them through the publisher as well, you know, but if you order them from me, get them a little bit cheaper, and they're signed, guaranteed, signed by me, right here at my little ramshackle little desk.
Okay, Jordan T. Maxwell, don't go away. Okay. We'll be right back, audience. Don't go away.
I got these messages.
When tornadoes raked the South, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. As communities lay in ruins, it was the hams who let their families know their loved ones were safe. When the power and cell phones went out, the hams were there, helping rescuers get the message through. Wherever catastrophes strike, amateur radio is ready. Amateur radio works when other communications don't. Contact the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, on the web at emergencyradio.org. That's emergencyradio.org.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ron Chepsik, and I am a co-producer and co-host of Crime Beat, Issues, Personalities, and Controversies from the Dark Side. We hope you can join my co-producer and co-host, Willie Hareb, and me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Artist First Worldwide Radio Network. We will take you into the back alleys and boardrooms of the world's most fascinating subject, crime. We have a diverse group of guests on the show who will talk about a wide range of fascinating subjects. They include organized crime, drug trafficking, government corruption, sports scandals, victims' rights, and crime as it relates to the war on terror. Our shows are timely and always stimulating. So we hope you can tune in on Thursday at 8 p.m. for another Dynamite program about crime. Past shows are available free. Visit artistfirst.com. Stay tuned.
Pentech USA Electronic Percussion. American made and known around the world for durability, customer service, and free lifetime technical support. Call Pentech and talk to real people in South Carolina, USA. 800-445-0506. Ask Pentech if they can ship your order same day. Mention Artist First and get a 10% discount on orders placed direct to Pentech USA.
Listening to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network. Send your questions and comments to DJ at artistfirst.com. Now back to your host, Mr. Tony Kay.
Hey, get out of the way. It's my mic.
Thanks a lot for joining us, everyone. Worldwide, Jordan T. Maxwell, thanks for your patience while I corrected my audio file. I can actually use the system, I think, now. Are you with me?
I am still here.
Wow, I thought I lost you for a second there because I didn't push the other button. I'm learning, you know. We've been at this since 96, over 30,000 guests on Artist First Radio and on the cutting edge of using this technology in wonderful ways. We have multiple links available on our website at artistfirst.com, regardless of the streaming device you choose to use.
Absolutely.
Now it's your turn. So, Jordan, this project has taken your life over. You have a tremendous passion for it. You have a great core group of people around you that you can reflect and share your ideas with. And you've located a new publisher, Lulu.com. We won't talk about that until December 20th, so you're coming back. So what's your plans for the new year? Have you thought about a publicist, an agent? Are you going to wear those hats too? Should I let you talk now?
I've been kind of wearing the publicist marketing agent hat since the beginning, or so it seems like. Very busy with that. Now, the first book was not with Lulu. It was with called Tate Publishing. And then the second book, I actually self-published using Lulu. And the other projects for the new year, well, I'm going to be working on the third book in what I call the Dandy Flower series. And I'm getting ready to, I'm really working on my first short story. I'm going to release that as just an ebook for free. It has nothing to do with anything that I've written before. And it's just going to be called, tentatively it's going to be called, 10 Days of Summer. And it's about a young lady named Summer. And we'll just see what happens with that.
It'll cost you. I know it'll be a big success. So, you know, you have carved out a niche. You feel comfortable navigating in the arena of a writer. Your psyche, the way that you think about the movement and scenes of your characters, well-defined.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a labor of love, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Do you now? Do you enjoy getting out and with book signings? Have you thought about?
I've done a few of those. In fact, my very first book signing, I had no clue on how many books to have available. It was like 25 or 30, and within 7 minutes, I was done. I sold out that quick. So it was it's like, well, that was fun. That was fast. Now what? And in fact, at that book signing, it was I have a lot of fun. I mean, talking with people, interacting with people. I can talk to just about anybody. But at the very first book signing, a little girl, I think she was about 6 years old, had the big blue eyes, and she walked up to me and she looked at me and she says, "Are you famous?" And her parents were standing right there. And I said, "No, honey, I'm infamous, but that's okay." But I do have fun. I have a lot of fun talking to people, trying to get them, you know. At a book signing, or at a bookstore doing the signings, you have people come in, and if you make eye contact, it's really fun to watch their reaction. Some people are like, "Oh heck, he's going to try to sell us something," or sometimes they'll come over and we'll engage in conversation, and that's as far as it goes. I'll talk about the book, but I try not to do any kind of super heavy pressure sales because that's just going to backfire in the long run. But you know, this is the book I wrote. Here's a little bit about it. Take one of my cards and have a good day. Buy it if you want. And if you do buy it, heck, I'll even sign it for you because I'm just that kind of guy.
Well, you know, I've met and have obviously over the years interviewed thousands of authors. You're all so unique and talented and benevolent with your time. When did you decide that it would be the most appropriate way to write? Is this a night owl kind of a project for you, or other points of the day?
I write when I feel like it. I have a regular, Monday through Friday, somewhat 8-to-5 job now. And so when I was writing the first book, I set aside from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. to write. And some nights I would write a lot longer than that. Some nights I would write one sentence. A few nights I'd sit down, get everything fired up, and think, not happening and turn the computer off and go do something else. So, you know, I write when the mood strikes. The most I've ever written in one sitting was 19 pages. And then, you know, there's some nights where I would agonize for 3 or 4 hours over one sentence to get it just right, at least in my mind. And so, you know, I write when the mood strikes. And if I would, like I said earlier, if I would stay off Facebook and quit talking to people, I could actually get more of these other books that I have in mind actually a little further along.
Yeah, I understand. You really do have to have a technology manager. I've been saying that a lot. I mean, now, fortunately, my phone, the Android by Sprint, yes, I love this thing. It has, I mean, but it GPS. I mean, I can. They know where I'm at all times. I would not be a missing person.
I understand, but
no, the technology is just amazing. The way that we can use it and reach people 24/7. So, what are we doing there? Do you write press releases? Do you have a blog? I hear that you're on Facebook quite a bit.
Yep.
But I mean, is that a world that you think will help you as an author? Are there social media groups that are most beneficial to you in the sense of the genre of material that you write?
I'm on, you know, I'm on Facebook. I'm members of a lot of different writing groups on there. In fact, because of one of those groups that I'm involved with is how I found out about doing this show tonight. Another author posted a link about it, and I called up your information, and here we are.
Who did that? Somebody did something right. Look at that. You're one in a million. It's okay. I can't sing either. But look, fact is, if you put the information out there, look what can happen.
Absolutely.
If you're in the right directories, if you have the right press credential in the sense that you've been reviewed and people are talking about your material, your visibility goes way up, and that makes the decision process easier for those who want to buy books.
Sure.
I mean, after all, there's only 300,000, you know, like every 6 months, books coming out. That's a lot.
Yeah, just 300,000.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's no big deal. I'm on Facebook a lot. Used to be MySpace, not so much more anymore. Twitter, I do have an account, but I'm not that big of a twit, I guess. Do the website and working on. I'm just trying to think of lots of different things to get the word out. So that's probably my biggest struggle is the marketing aspect. That's not my area of expertise by any stretch of the imagination, and I do struggle with that, but. I'm kind of taking a deep breath, and I'm going to gear up and keep right on going and see what happens.
Jordan, as I tell all of our guest authors, let the computer be your guide. Simply make sure that you're registered, that you're out there in every possible way for people to locate the content of your material.
Yep.
So you have to somehow get to the edge. You know, remember the old days when you held a book in your hand and you flipped it over and there was a picture of the author and a little paragraph about who they were, and then there was this other couple paragraphs about the book.
Yep.
And you could actually read that and say, wow, that's an interesting story. I'd like to... you have to do that on your website.
Yep. I've got... the website I have is one I do myself. It's nothing... stellar in the audiovisual sense, but it has the information out there. It has it has lots of things on there, and especially the place where you can order one of the books or both of the books or everything. That's great, but you know, keeping up with that, it's kind of difficult at times. I kind of get the writer's block. Like, now what else can I put on here? What can I do differently to get the word out and get it?
Go to freepressreleases.com or just go up to your search engine and put in free press releases. Free press releases. If you're a guest on our network and you write up a press release and you publish it for free, we've been around so long. I mean, come on. Priscilla Presley was on Artist First Radio Network. Joan London Yes. Master P. Olivia Newton-John. Thousands of famous personalities. Otis Williams, the last survivor of the Temptations, came on Artists First. And, oh, yes, what about Davy Jones? You think it's easy to capture a moment of time with any of these people? Of all of the radio stations, of all of the media, of everywhere else they could possibly go, they're on Artists First Radio. So thank you, every one of you, for supporting the arts, for supporting Authors First, and by sponsoring and supporting our guests. You won't be disappointed. Thank you so much for being our guest. And before I let you go, what's my favorite word? Anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to say hello to?
Hey, just want to say hello to all my family and friends that may be listening. And if my kids are listening, it's time to get ready to go to bed. Oh, wait, it's not a school night. Never mind. Stay up as late as you want. Have a good evening.